This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Charles Gross.
Hello and welcome to our program, The Armor of God. This is a religious program made possible by through the efforts of the Church of God International. And it is our privilege indeed to spend time with you as we have this occasion today and invite you to follow along as we study a subject which we hope you will find engaging and also will induce some thoughtful reasoning on your part in regard to the subject that we have for you today. To join me in our discussion, we're going to be talking, by the way, about sin and the fact that there is such a prevalent permission for sin in our society today. But to do that, I have Mr. Bill Watson.
Hi, Charles.
And Bill has traveled down from the northern states, to be with us here today, and we're pleased for that event. Let's take a moment now to talk about a subject which is addressed immediately in Romans chapter 6 in verse 1. I'm just going to ask you to get your Bibles out and follow along with me, because there are some profound statements here. We want to make our point clear to you today. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 says, "What shall we say then?" This is the Apostle Paul raising a question. The Apostle Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" This little verse is frequently confusing to people, and I'm not exactly sure why, except that those who want permission to sin and still claim to be Christian or righteous will say that we don't have to worry about the frequency of our sin because we're covered by grace. I would like to take exception with that today and encourage you to get serious about sin in your life. We will see as we course along that sin is the transgression of God's laws, the transgression of God's Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, the laws of life, the laws of love. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, there's a prevalent school of thought called antinomianism, anti meaning against the law. There are people who don't believe in the law because to believe in the law is to state that you are under the law, and if you're under the law, you're expected to keep it. So there are a group of people, some religious folks, who believe that this verse here in verse 1 is a license for spiritual lawlessness. Well, that couldn't be farther from the truth. And Bill Watson and I are going to course through this here today and open your mind to what sin is. And we're going to discuss without question how sin seeps its way into our life. And unfortunately, it's becoming more extensive in the media, the books we read, the television we view, and is what is practiced on college campuses and high school and even in homes today. Sin is almost, I don't know, it's almost like it's non-existence. We're afraid to call sin, sin. We call it by all sorts of other terms. We sort of ignore what it really is. These people who are against the law have permission, so they assume, to live it up and to have all the fun they can and ignore the consequences. Now, as we go along, I want to invite you to take advantage of our two offers today. We have a booklet and we also have an audio tape. The booklet is entitled The 10 Facts That You Should Know About Repentance. And if you follow these points that are mentioned in here, you will be able to determine how it is that you can be brought to conversion. And if you want to be in the kingdom of God, if you want to be a part of the family of God, you must repent of your sins. You must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This will give you some guidance and will answer questions about this very, very important Christian subject. Along with that, we have a tape that I've given. It's entitled From B.C. to A.D. Don't let that confuse you. What that means is from before conversion to after death. And it talks about the difference between an individual once he has been called and the life he lived before and the life he lives afterwards. The tape, again, is From B.C. to A.D. Please access our toll-free number. We have a toll-free number that you can call. It's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can access what we have as our resources at our website, which is www.cgi.org. I might mention, if you're interested and have the capability on your computer, you can access and literally listen to if not view the television program, The Armor of God. You can request Bible study articles and subjects. You can also tune in to some youth-oriented direction and instruction, and you can write to us your questions. We'll do our best to get back to you with some timely answers. Also, feel free to write to us at our home office here in Tyler, Texas. So again, 10 facts you should know about repentance and the tape from B.C. to A.D. You know, Bill, as we come back here to the subject of sin, I think I know for a fact you know that what sin is. I know what sin is. What I've wondered is how come our society is losing sight of what it really is? It's almost like sin is non-existent anymore. The Apostle Paul, in response to the question that I raised here, says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he says, and I think it's emphatic, God forbid. Now, there's no permission there. It's absolute. God forbid. It's almost a ridiculous, absurd, stupid question to even be asking.
Absolutely.
And yet, isn't it interesting that we have to ask the same question today?
Absolutely.
Is it okay that we sin so that grace may abound? That's what an antinomian would insist today.
Mm-hmm.
It's permission to be a sinner. Well, God forbid that, and it's our job as ministers of Jesus Christ to challenge our audience and say, listen, let's get serious about our responsibilities as Christians. Know what repentance is. Repent of your sins. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and live the correct life.
Exactly, Charles. And a lot of this has to do with the fact that people don't like absolutes.
Right.
Do you know there was a doctrine back in the early church that actually, as absurd as this may sound, nevertheless was in fact going on and around and about, and of which the early apostles had to contend with. And that was a simple doctrine that stated something like this, that the more you sinned, the more grace you could obtain. So therefore, it made more sense that if you wanted to get more grace, to go out and just tie one on. You know, have a good time. Take a few tokes or do what you want to do, but do it as you please, because you see, the more you do it, the more grace you get from God, and so therefore the more forgiving you get, and consequently, hence, you assure yourself of a better position to go to the proverbial heaven above, you know. And yet the fact is that is as absurd as Charles was already indicating here, my friends, as anything could be, because see, the reality is, and I think many of us would agree, most people do not like or want to have a God in their lives that would interfere with telling them of all things what to do, what days to observe, what foods to eat for that matter. They wouldn't want a God to interfere. Most people, frankly, as a matter of fact, they would prefer to go ahead and create God in their own image and bring God out of the closet as they would need him. And in most cases, people bring God out or try to get close to God when they're in trouble. And unfortunately, that's what you could say an unfortunate fact of life that so many people participate in and partake in. But the fact is, God, and I think, Charles, this is where you're going to, and certainly it's very appropriate in realizing that God has absolutes. And you see, frankly, people don't like absolutes. That's what lines in the sand are all about, you see, because lines in the sand draw distinctions. You know, kind of like bowling. I don't know if you've ever bowled, Charles, but you know, when you had a bad game, maybe some of you out there, our viewers, are bowlers, and you have a bad game, you've got a lot of open frames, what do? You draw a vertical line, don't you? And you say, well, that's it. I'm drawing a line here at this frame, and hence, from this point on, I'm going to mark. You know, I'm going to get spares and strikes. Well, lines in the sand, my friends, as you know, and I know, mark distinctions. They mark beginnings and endings of certain things. Well, God has some certain lines in the sand that we can use as a reference, because you see, part of our problem today is the fact that we have no reference points. I want to bring your attention to something over here in the book of Romans. I've already turned my Bible there because I knew I was going there before you did. But nevertheless, if you have your Bible, go ahead and get it. If you don't, perhaps you may just want to write this down and get to it later. But I want to point something out to you, because there is a, what you could say, convoluted rationale that's associated with this law and grace thing that I think most of us do not draw a conclusion to. And let me, just follow me through this and let me make my point, and I think you'll see where I'm going here in a moment. In Romans chapter 3, if you all turn there, now I'm going to proof text, and I know some of you may not like the proof text, but because of shortness of time and so forth, and I know Charles wants to say a few more things here, and I don't want to hog the program. So I just want to state a few things here and lay these particular proof texts down for your consideration, and that is chapter 3, verse 20. Here we go. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, Paul talking here, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Later on, Paul says that the law is good and righteous and right. And you know why he says that, my friends? You can read it there in Romans 7, I think it is. He says there that it's because of why? Very simply, that by virtue of the law, the knowledge of sin is obtained. That's right. The knowledge of sin is obtained. Paul says that, you know, he didn't even know what sin was until the law was established. Then when the law revealed the right and the wrong, in other words, it drew the line in the sand. Hence, Paul now knew what was right and wrong because he had a reference point, an absolute. I know we hate to hear that word. I know it. But nevertheless, it's a fact of life. We need absolutes in order to determine right and wrong. Otherwise, we don't know what's good and bad because, frankly, there are some people who think running airplanes into buildings is right. In other words, they think they're doing God a service. And in most cases, my friends, the debate is wide open because if you don't have a reference point of what's right and wrong, you know what? They may be right. Did you ever think of that? There are perceptions of right and wrong. All I'm saying is that without absolutes, you know it as well as I do, anything goes. What might be right for you may not be right for me. So consequently, what I'm saying here is, and here's where I'm going with this, it's important for all of us to recognize something. The law has value. And I think that's what we're going to try and tell you today. And you know why the law has value? Look at this. Over here in Romans chapter 4, just another chapter over, as I try to make my point, as I mentioned I was going to. Verse 15, chapter 4, book of Romans. Because the law works wrath. There's a penalty associated with breaking the law. And, of course, the death penalty. If you break the law, you die. I mean, that's what the Bible's all about in that respect. So it tells us that we need the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Of course, many of you realize that in order to avoid that. But look at this. Look at this next portion of verse 15. For where no law is, there is no transgression. If you go to 1 John chapter 4, I think around verse 3 or so, you'll find out the definition of sin. A Bible definition of sin is transgression of the law is sin. Therefore, if there's no law, there's no sin. Here's my point. Remember, I told you I was going to try to make a point. I asked you to follow me through this. If there is no sin, because there is no law, tell me, my friends, why? You know, Charles, and I ask our viewers this, why do we need a Savior? I thought our Savior was supposed to save us from our sins. But if there is no law, your Bible says, verse 15, Romans 4, read it, for where no law is, there is no transgression. My friends, it's as simple as this. If you go through an intersection and there is no stop sign and a policeman pulls you over down the line past the intersection and says he's going to give you a ticket for breaking the stop sign and there was none, how can he give you a ticket? It's that simple. So, my friends, and I think, Charles, what we're trying to talk about here is very simply, there is law, and law is very important to the overall salvation program of God and Jesus Christ and how it formulates together and works together because, frankly, the law and grace or Christ and Moses, as they would say, some would say, complement one another very much so, you know.
You know, Bill, it's interesting you'd bring this out because the line in the sand means different things to different people. And I know that the visual imagery with all of this is appropriate because, you know, there is a line that people draw in the sand. When I was a child growing up, as a kid, I guess it was a bullying technique. You know, you get mad at each other, and somebody said, well, listen, I'll just draw a line, and you see if you want to step over that, and then you get whooped up on.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to reverse that just a little bit because I think God does want us to draw a line in the sand for ourselves physically and spiritually. And that's a little bit about what this program is in reference to today, because we believe that the Bible teaches without question that you are supposed to live by a certain standard. We look at them as absolutes in contrast to what philosophically is taught in colleges and high schools today. There are absolutes. Now, I'd like to give you just a couple of them here in Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading over in verse 28. This language, Bill, and our viewers, is extremely strong, and I'm afraid is not well received by some of our more liberal, open-eared listeners today. It says in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind And I don't mind telling you that some of the people who view this program are of a reprobate mind. They're not interested in keeping God's laws. They're interested in permission to continue in a sinful life. And I think that is of a reprobate mind. God has given you over to that, to do those things which are not convenient. And frankly, our society is filled with activities, sins, deeds, and permissiveness that is not convenient, that would not have been accepted even a decade or so ago. And then it goes on to talk about some of the things that are not acceptable, that are not convenient. Here they are in verse 29. And just think about these for a moment. Being filled with all unrighteousness, that means they're not keeping God's laws. Fornication, I think most people know what that's all about, but you know, fornication is something that's just commonplace today. It's accepted.
Boy, it sure is.
Well, how come it's accepted? I mean, you know, it's against God's laws. If you are a young man or a young girl, you're in high school, pre-high school, draw yourself a line in the sand and say, I'm not going to do that.
Raise the bar.
I'm not going to step over that. I'm going to stay within this because this represents God's laws, what God wants me to do. It goes on to talk about wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness. People who are full of envy, murderers, debate. We see a lot of that on television today that's not really conductive to a healthy conversation or conclusions. Deceit, malignity, whisperers. It goes on to talk in verse 30 and 31. It goes on, backbiters, haters of God. And there are increasing numbers of people today that, unfortunately, to my dismay, are haters of God. They're agnostic or atheists. They don't believe in God. They hate God. They hate the principles that God stands for. It goes on to say, and this is a little bit sensitive, people who are inventors of evil things. All you have to do is watch the news every day. You get a good dose of that. It talks about people who are disobedient to their parents. Boy, that's directed at all children. There's a line in the sand. Do not be disobedient to your parents. Without understanding, they are covenant breakers. Do we need to talk about the increasing rates of divorce? The numbers of families that trek their way from the altar of marriage to the courtrooms of divorce. Those numbers are just increasing, as it seems, day by day by day. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. So as we're talking about this, these are things we do not want to do. Draw yourself a line in the sand and say, I'm not going over that line. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to restrain myself from these activities. I'm going to resist this type of conduct. I'm reminded, too, of something that I just want to mention in passing over here in Jeremiah chapter 6, which I think is so typical of our society today. It talks about it here in verse 13, and follow along and see if you agree. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one deals falsely. Well, do we need to talk about politicians? Do we need to even talk about the tragedies in ministries where ministers have not been faithful to their constituency and to their members? These verses seem to apply today. This does not speak of every ministry, does not speak of every politician, but you know, even one is too many. Think of the people that are affected by that. We try to be very careful about that in our church and our ministry. It goes on to say here, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? No. I guess, you know, I don't know exactly where to go with this because I don't want to become political in our program, but how discouraging it is when our politicians can't even be ashamed.
Shameless.
They're shameless. They cannot be ashamed of their immoral conduct, which unfortunately our children today sort of use as permission. If they can do it at the highest levels, then why can't we do it in these lower levels?
And look what it has done. CEOs of Enron, yeah. CEOs yeah. of other corporations.
Spills over financially.
That's right.
It goes on to say here, they have committed these things. Were they ashamed? Well, no, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. I'll just leave it at that because it does seem that our society has gotten away from the ability to be sensitive to those things that are against God's laws. And brethren, friends, listeners, there are habits, there are sins that God just hates and despises. Now, you know, you just apply these principles to your life. And again, I'm asking you, I'm imploring of you to don't give in to the philosophy that it's okay if you sin. It's okay if you commit fornication. It's okay if you commit adultery. It's okay if you get drunk and beat your wife, or your wife gets drunk and beats up on you, however that may work. No, it's not okay. Let's get serious about what the Bible says. Let's get back to the context of Romans chapter 6 and the language of the Apostle Paul. I might ask you, too, are you sensitive? Are you able to blush any longer? Are there any things that happen in your home or in society or in television that make you a little bit ashamed? I confess that there are some things that come on the television that I just get sort of embarrassed over, and I refuse to watch it. Because I remember, or I know, that if I get tolerant of that, where does it stop?
And that's what's happening.
And incrementalism. That's exactly what's, incrementalism.
Right.
And it's just sort of seeping into our society. Now, I want to come back to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6, where we started. Romans chapter 6 goes back to deal with this matter of what I call B.C. or A.D., and B.C. is before you are converted. As a converted individual, you're expected to live by a different set of standards than you were before you were converted, because it is a matter of life and death. I have literally had people in the baptismal tank, Bill, I don't know if you've ever had this happen or not, but people who are right in the baptismal tank, about to be immersed, and I would ask them if they had repented of their sins, and for some reason, the seriousness of the moment would hit them, and I have had, at least on one occasion, a person look at me with almost tears in their eyes and say, no, I'm not ready.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm not ready.
I never had that.
And get up out of that watery grave and then start thinking it all over again, because they did take it very seriously. Romans chapter 6 is a fascinating chapter. It deals with burial of the old person, that sinful person, the person who lies, cheats, steals, is unfaithful. And it deals with the person who has drawn, as we have used in this program, a line in the sand, and you know all about repentance and receiving of God's Holy Spirit, and you are on a different path in your life. And now, rather than going to, you know, the potential of the lake of fire, you're headed toward the kingdom of God. As I see here in Romans chapter 6, as we come back here, we need to understand then the privilege it is to be forgiven of our sins, to embrace Christ, and to walk in a newness of life. We look at Romans chapter 6, we can be set free from our sin, and I want you to notice over here in Romans chapter 8, as we close out our program here today and sort of wind things down here, I want to give you some encouragement, and I want to caution you just a little bit. First of all, it says in verse 9 of Romans chapter 8, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I want to challenge you as our viewers today to really consider whether or not you have the Spirit of God. Oh, you may have been baptized when you were 3 years of age, but I'll tell you what, I'm not sure that means you're converted. I just want to challenge you to think about it. You know, when you're 3 years of age, you don't even know what sin is. If you're a sinful person who is caught up in a sinful nature and a sinful life today, you've got to really evaluate that, because the Holy Spirit is opposite to sin. It's like the north and south poles of a magnet. You know, they're different from each other. They resist.
It generates change.
It generates change. And if you have the Holy Spirit, it is not stagnant. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you a better sinner. The Holy Spirit makes you a better person. It makes you an individual who stays within the governance and the guidance of these lines in the sand that we have talked about here today.
Which should bring forth evidence.
You should have evidence of it. So I want you to consider whether or not that you, as an individual, do have the Spirit of God. And if you don't, or if you're wondering, I must close out with this thought here today in Acts chapter 2 in verse 38, which is this unbelievably accurate sermon given by Peter. And Peter asks some very sharp questions here in Acts chapter 2. And I want you to notice over in verse 38. After he had given this unbelievably accurate sermon, Peter in verse 38 said to them that you need to repent, you need to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Well, I mean, that's pretty obvious. If remission of sins, you've got to know what sin is and what it isn't. So I'm challenging you today to be sure that you know what sin is, and don't make yourself permissive. And don't become an antinomian or someone who is against the law because you get to feel good because you sin and you feel you are covered by grace. The final thought here is, let's be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Then you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we'd like to challenge you as ministers of the gospel here on the Armor of God to consider the weight of evidence for you to be serious about you, the absolutes that you believe in.
And get urgent on
and
yourself. Get urgent on yourself, my friends.
Know.
Right.
Make a demand of yourself.
Exactly.
You know, raise the bar for yourself.
And do something about it.
You know, and I hope you will feel free to contact our ministry. We have a faithful ministry, and they can counsel you about these matters. So as you study through the Bible, make a challenge to yourself. Learn what is right and wrong. Determine what the absolutes are. Set yourself up on the correct course and begin on the right journey. If you need a little assistance along the way, keep watching The Armor of God. We're here to help you in whatever way we can. Offer a little bit of advice, a little bit of direction along the way. So come back with us. Watch another program next week.
You know, as you can see, my friends, today, drawing lines in the sand can mean a couple of things. It can mean simply that you want to change trends in your life, go in a different direction, or secondly, that you want to make a commitment to making a difference in your life. And in either case, change is required. You know, many years ago, Jesus Christ was confronted with a situation that dealt with change. He was brought a woman who was caught in the act of adultery by a bunch of religious leaders, namely Pharisees. They proceeded to remind Jesus that the law required her life, that she should be stoned. And Jesus, looking at her and looking at the men after he was told that, decided not really to say anything to them. What he simply did was he began to bend down and draw lines in the sand. Now, you know as well as I do, those lines in the sand were words. And whatever those words were, and the Bible's really not all that clear on just what those words were, but we do know this. The result was that each man left one by one until only Jesus and the lady was left together. Jesus, looking at the woman at that time, decided and proceeded to suggest to her she needed to draw some lines in the sand and change direction in her own life. And that direction that Jesus reminded her of was simply this: to go and sin no more. That's what's really at the heart of today's program. Charles Gross and myself proceeded to try and tell you and convey to you, my friends, thoughts about the need for you, as well as I, to consider the trends in our lives, the directions that we go in that oftentimes lead to anxiety and pain and sometimes frustration. And that's all we're trying to do today, is remind you that perhaps it's time for you to reassess the direction in your life and consider some lines in the sand. That's why I'd like to suggest that you dial 888-578-8791 today. Get the free offer that we're offering today, the booklet titled 10 Facts That You Should Know About Repentance, and the tape given before a live audience by Charles Gross himself titled From BC to AD. Both items are free to you for the asking. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791 or hit us on our website, www.cgi.org. We'll get the material out to you in just a couple of weeks. So until then, this is Bill Watson reminding you to stand strong and remember to keep that armor of God on always so that you may be able to stand in the evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.